Welcome to Career Tools. How to talk to your manager about getting promoted. Part one. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How do I talk to my boss about getting a promotion? How do I become a manager? What do I need to know before asking for a promotion? If you haven't heard already, you haven't been listening to podcasts for the last month or so, we're hosting our first ever M Conference, October 9 and 10th this year in Dallas, Texas. It's the first time we won't be the only people on the stage. The M Conference is for those of you who are managers who are looking to strengthen your professional development because you have interest in going to the next level. And I remember years ago reading a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. The problems that you're going to face in the next phase of your career are different, and we thought you'd like to hear about how to overcome them from people who have already overcome them. So we've asked 10 speakers from the Manager Tools community to come and speak. We have CEOs, CTOs, CFOs, CIOs, and a few EVPs thrown in there as well. And not only will you get to listen to them talk, you'll also meet the other 40 to 50 attendees, and you'll leave with a new part of your network that we will help you stay in touch with. Hope to see you there, October 9th and 10th, Dallas, Texas. Come to the website and check it out. Okay, Wendy, so some time ago, we released a series of casts about getting promoted. We told you about, we told everybody the results they need and politics and why you might want to get promoted. But we never ever covered talking to your boss about wanting to get promoted, which might make a difference. Or for that matter, that you even have ambitions to be a manager. And part of the reason we're doing this is because that conversation frequently never happens and bosses don't know and directs get frustrated. I think bosses ought to know, but they don't. And then we've heard stories of it going poorly. And so we thought we'd lay that out for them.
We did. And we just produced something in Manager Tools about how managers should respond to how I get promoted. And that's a really helpful thing to note too. So we'll talk about that in a second. But the rest of our outline is prepare a briefing, include why you want to get promoted, include your plan to, get all the skills and things that you need, include a timeline, then work your plan, schedule a second conversation, and don't slack off. It's a long outline today.
It is, yeah. And that the number seven, for those of you who may not be from the United Kingdom, that's schedule a second conversation.
Never get that one right.
Yeah, that's okay. We also call it aluminum rather than aluminium. So this is kind of different for us that we have a self-referential bullet in the show notes about telling people the first thing they should do is listen to this other cast. How do I respond to how do I get promoted? Why are we telling them that in light of that? Certainly it's actionable, but what's that cast about? How do I respond? That's for the manager, right?
You wrote that cast for managers, telling them what to do when their directs come to them and say, I want to get promoted, mostly because for many managers, that's an unexpected conversation or one that they haven't prepared for, one that they suddenly have to respond to something and they're like, I didn't even think about it. I have no idea what to say. And, many people are not as well-versed in management as you are or as eloquent as you, or they haven't ever had to answer the question. And so we gave them instructions. We gave them actionable points of what to say and how to say it so that managers could have that conversation. Now, the reason it's useful as a direct or someone who wants to get promoted to hear that cast is it's the conversation that your manager should have with you. It's the points they should say to you, but they probably won't because they're not Manager Tools listeners and they're just the average manager.
Yeah, something? It just occurred to me. Why don't we make note that we put the Manager Tools cast on the Career Tools webpage. So for those people who want to listen, it's been a month or two or six, maybe. I tend to lose track of when we did certain podcasts after 14 years. But let's put both of them on the page so that those folks who want to listen on the website can find both of them. I remember writing the cast, and I wrote it because somebody wrote in, a licensee wrote in and said, Mark, you know, what do I say? You know, I feel like I had handled the conversation poorly. And what was interesting was, to me, I know this sounds terrible. I don't mean to throw this manager under the bus. I'm really not. But it reminded me of the cast about you don't have to know everything. We have a rule at Manager Tools and Career Tools for managers. You don't have to know everything. And then if you don't have to know everything, you certainly don't have to know everything right now. Meaning when a director comes to you and says, hey, what about this? If you're not expecting that question, you don't have to feel guilty or ashamed or embarrassed that everybody else knows that answer, but you don't. You just say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, give me 24 hours. And now is not a great time, but we'll talk about it tomorrow and I'll give you an answer. Okay. Now, the first thing you want to do is get over that feeling of embarrassment and shame and frustration that you don't know, which will probably lead to you to give a defensive answer. Another thing you could do is if you're a licensee, you can write in and I'll tell you what to say. But the last thing is probably the biggest thing that struck me about the theme of questions I had gotten about what do I say to my direct was how many times the tone of what the manager was saying was negative. And one of the key parts in the cast is, this is a great thing. Let's do a thought experiment. You have 10 people working for you. All 10 of them come to you over the course of a couple of weeks and say, I just want you to know, I don't want to get promoted. Don't want to move. Like my job. Just want to stay right here. Or all 10 of them come to you and say, hey, look, I'm ready for more responsibility. I'm ready to grow. I'd like to further my career and so on.
Give me more to do.
Which one? Yes, exactly. Give me more to do as opposed to I'll be a stick in the mud. And by the way, I'm trying to form a union. You know, I mean, it's an easy choice. But managers don't see it that way. They feel defensive. Well, you know, it's hard. You can't, you know, it's very difficult. I'm not in charge. You know, it's good to know that you want to be promoted, but I don't know. So, yeah, to me, I remember after I wrote it, I said, we got to do this for the direct. We got to do it for the other side.
So knowing what that conversation should be and being warned that the answer actually might be, I don't know, let's talk about it in 24 hours or in your one-on-one, that's a possible answer for you as the directs who the listening to this Career Tools cast. There is a possibility that the answer will be, I don't know, and I don't want to talk about it right now. And that's okay, because at least you've said your piece and that you'll get a chance to talk about it. And the Manager Tools cast is four parts, which is quite long to listen to, just to get context for this one. So we talked to Mike, and Mike said we could put the show notes for that cast on this page. And that even if you're not a licensee, you can read the show notes so that you get the context.
Let me just mention, Wendy, because I talk to people enough in the field. In fact, I was in North Carolina last week and I was, you know, don't ask the fish about the water, meaning don't ask us about the world we live in, because we take it for granted. But these managers, many of whom have been exposed to Career Tools, didn't know what show notes were, didn't understand how it works. So folks, just a brief lesson here. All of the podcasts, the audio of the podcasts are free. Okay. However, there are many people who would say podcasts are not my favorite way or the only way that I consume information. And sometimes I don't have an hour to listen to a two-part cast. And so for every one of our shows, we have something called show notes. In fact, Wendy and I are using them right now. We write what is essentially a white paper with our guidance in it. And then we talk about the topic while using the white paper as a reference. Now, two points to that. One, you can listen to the podcast for free and you never need to know that there was a white paper behind it. I promise you, if we ever took the show notes away, you would discover immediately that we used to have show notes, because the show notes keep us on track. We know what we're talking about now. We know what we're talking about next. And for example, I'm getting old, and so the print on my print version of this is fairly large. The typeface is fairly large, but this is a 20-page document. I don't know what that probably translates to when it becomes a PDF on the website. But you could listen to the show without the show notes and you'd be fine. Conversely, you could read the show notes without listening to the cast and you would also be fine. The show notes are meant to stand independently from the cast, from those people who would prefer to read in 15 minutes or 10 minutes even what they could get out of the show in 30 or 45 or 60 minutes. Now, you could have both as well. There's a guy, Daryl Watkins in North Carolina, who told me he'd been listening for years and years and years, and he had boxes and boxes and boxes of our show notes all organized because it was easier for him when he had a problem and he remembered a show to go back to the show notes to find them. Now, the point about show notes, guys, is the podcasts are free. The show notes are not. You could buy an individual copy. What is it? Is it $15, Wendy?
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah. But if you want written versions of our shows, the show notes, that costs you a license, which is $200 a year. The license includes a bunch more stuff as well. And the license gets you not only, as of this is year 2019, not only the previous 14 years worth of podcast show notes, it also gets you the next year's worth. And I would say probably half the people that are getting show notes are getting them for the historical record. They can go back and download show notes and so on. Okay, so I'm sorry for that aside, guys. We just wanted you to understand that you don't have to listen to the four-part cast of the Manager Tools companion cast to this. How do I respond to, hey, I want to get promoted? You can download the show notes. And in fact, if you've never seen show notes before, you can save yourself the time. You can read the show notes. You get to keep them. And now you'll know what you've been missing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so basically, if I've heard you correctly in the outline, there are three parts to the strategy here. There's an initial conversation between you and your boss. There's a plan and the completion of that plan as part two. And then there's a second conversation. And so we're going to start with prepare a briefing.
Right, which is, this is the initial conversation. This is your preparation for the initial conversation. And it's not a conversation you want to go into unprepared. If you go into your boss and say, hey, I want a pay rise, and he says, why? If you don't have any answers, you're not getting a pay rise, and nor are you getting promoted, if that was your question. So this is a sales meeting in the sense of you are selling your manager on the idea that you have the skills and abilities and the aptitude to work at a more senior level. Now, you may think that he already knows that or he already believes that, but that doesn't mean that this conversation and this briefing isn't something that you want to prepare for, right? Even if you have already had conversations around this and he said to you, you know, one day I think you might be a good manager, this is a conversation about setting the expectation and a timeline and a plan for that happening rather than the kind of aside of, oh, you might be a good manager one day. And, you know, managers would be stupid if they just promoted people who wanted to be promoted, right? You want to hope that people are promoted because they have the right skills and abilities. And therefore, you're going to have a coherent, cogent argument about why you should be the person who's promoted. And, you know, if the manager promotes the wrong person and that person doesn't work out, that's embarrassing for the manager. It's a black mark for them against the organization. There's all sorts of reasons for managers to be very cautious about who they promote or who they give more responsibility to. And so this persuasion piece is a way of, you know, getting a little bit of that caution to go away.
If you're going to ask to get promoted and you're not willing to prepare a briefing, then you're not willing to do a little extra work. And the reason you get promoted is because you show you can do your job as well or better than everybody else. And you can handle some of the next level jobs, the stuff your boss or other people at your boss's level do. Why would we say, oh, you haven't proven anything to us, we'll give you more responsibility and flip a coin and hope it works out, as opposed to, well, if you want more responsibility, you might as well prove you can do it. Now, you might say to yourself, gosh, that's hard. Maybe they should give it to me first and then I'll earn it later. Well, There just aren't that many things in life that run that way. You have to earn it first, and then it's granted to you. So if you're not willing to prepare a briefing, that should be an indicator, a sign that maybe you're not willing to work hard enough to be a manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you understand that the organization sets the rules. But we can also say, right, that the briefing doesn't need to be that long.
No, not at all. A one-page document, a single PowerPoint slide with bullet points that you can talk about, that's sufficient. It's about sorting out the ideas in your own head and then being able to put some kind of structure to them so that they're easily understandable by somebody else. It's not a whole dog and pony show. It's not like a 20-minute presentation with 100 slides about how awesome you are. It's like 10 points. And one of them is including why you want to get promoted. And one of the casts in the Getting Ready to Get Promoted series, the rest of this series is Know Why. And in it, we list two organizationally acceptable reasons for being promoted and two not to say. So the good reasons are because you want more or new challenges and because you have more to give. In other words, there is more to me. There is more I want to do.
Yeah.
The reasons you don't want to tell your manager are more money and more influence, right? Your manager doesn't want to hear how your mortgage is increased or you're having a new baby and you need more money because it's a I want.
I want something from you in order to get something I want, as opposed to I believe I can serve more people and help the organization get better. Those things about, you know, if you want more money, that's like the Shel Silverstein poem, God's Wheel. You know, a kid sees God steering the world with a wheel, and he says, what's that? And God says, that's the wheel I steer the world with. Do you want to give it a try? Kid says, sure. Where do I sit? How much do I get? When's lunch? When can I quit? God says, give me back my wheel. You're not ready yet. If what you want to get promoted is more money or more power, then you want it for the wrong reason. It's lost on 99% of the people I say it to in the world today, but your organization exists to serve society. That's what it does. It's a service organization. It makes products or services to help other people's lives be better. If you're saying, I want the organization to give me something to make my life better, it's almost as if you're saying, I'm a customer and not part of the organization that is in the mode of serving others. It's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give. And look, your manager ought not to be thinking, how can I make this person's life better? He or she wants to hear how you can make their life better, or put differently, how can you serve the organization and then indirectly them? And if you do that often enough, the giving you do will get you the getting you want. But to turn it around and say, I want to get, and then because I have gotten, I will be able to give more, is a bass-ackwards way to go through a professional life.
It's like when you get the notice from the cable people that says, we're putting up your cost of your package by $20 a month, and nothing else changes. And you're just like, why? Like, what are you doing for me for that $20? That's how your manager's going to react, right? I'm getting the same service, but I'm paying more. Why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So one of the things you might want to include in the why I want to get promoted section is that you will be a good goal setter and a good goal getter. If you've been doing work that we've been suggesting elsewhere, you'll have been setting your own goals and achieving them for the last 9 months, a year, depending on how long you've been in your role. And if you are not hitting your goals or your current targets that you or your boss are setting for you, then don't have this conversation. Like, this is not the right time to have that conversation if you don't have the credibility of getting the results.
I think people don't understand the whole issue of you have to be doing well to ask. If you're not doing well, and there's a perception that you're at the low end of the performance spectrum, the boss who hears, hey, I want to get promoted, will probably hear that, if nothing else, as a selfish ploy. Like, you know, I'm not doing well. Maybe I have struggles elsewhere in my life, and I need a win here. Or, you know, I think I have the potential and you ought to grant me the result of that potential without proof of the potential. By the way, folks, potential is a really terrible thing. It's this whole idea of, well, we promoted him because he has potential. You don't promote people because they have potential. And one person's ability to see some other person's potential is virtually zero in virtually all cases. So if you tell your boss you want to get promoted and you're not already doing well, you don't have to be the number one person on the team. Not that at all. But if you're not already doing well, you won't have credibility in the conversation.
In the summer of 2019, the hiring market is the best for candidates that we've ever seen. Unemployment is at its lowest since 1969. That means hiring is harder, and the temptation to hire just anyone is higher. Instead, purchase a personal license and use the interview creation tool. Answer some questions about the job, and the tool will give you the questions to ask your candidates, what to look for, and a couple of paragraphs to read at the beginning of the interview to set it up for success. We've recently revamped the tool, and it's now even easier to use. Having good questions helps you weed out candidates who won't work out and find the ones that will. To find out more, go to manager-tools.com and type #ICT in the search bar.
Something else I will suggest is if you suggest that it's about more money or you having more power, you're going to come across as selfish, which then doesn't relate to one of the most important parts of being a manager, which is helping other people grow and develop. If you think about the Manager Tools Trinity, coaching is all about asking directs for more than they're giving right now. One-on-ones are about building relationships with other people. Feedback is about helping other people get better. Delegation is about sharing with other people to help them learn new skills. It's all about other people. It's like that line, first line of one of my favorite books. It's not about you. And if you go in with a selfish me attitude, a manager, particularly a manager's manager, will see you coming and think, no, you're just misaligned with what this job is really all about. So don't ask your boss. If that's the case, don't ask your boss to make you a manager because you won't be good at it. And look, being a manager isn't the only path. It's a good path. We highly recommend it. But there are lots of ways and lots of organizations. And if you're not in an organization like this, you could go elsewhere to find it, where you can grow your career, grow your skills, grow your marketability, grow your paycheck, and not manage people. But if you're not naturally aligned toward it, be very careful before assuming that's the only way to get ahead.
Being a manager just because you want to be a manager isn't, yeah, you know, it's
you'll hate it.
Just because I want the title, yeah, you'll hate it. And the last thing we would recommend is looking at the company's website, the corporate vision, the values, you know, all of those things that are usually on websites, and use some of the language or use some of the language that comes out of press releases or emails that come from your boss's boss or department heads, those kind of people, because that helps show that you are aligned with the organization. It's a kind of cheat, but using the same language makes people feel like you are aligned with them.
Yeah, you're right. But since we use the word cheat, let's also say, don't lie.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah.
Don't suggest all of a sudden you're sweet cream, you know, if you're not. Pick the ones that you believe align well with who you are. Because if you just tout yourself generally, that's puffery. And most managers will see right through it.
And there's every kind of manager, right? There's male and female and old and young and outgoing and introverted. Like anybody can be a manager. You don't have to start saying, oh yeah, I'm going to become an extrovert and therefore be a great manager.
Oh, don't do that.
You don't have to do that and you don't want to do that. Because again, making yourself into something that you're not in order to become a manager is a road to misery.
That's it, everybody. See you next week for the conclusion.
Thank you.